Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, July 27th, the year of our Lord, 2025. And this is the seventh Sunday after Pentecost. It is an absolute joy to welcome you here, and I pray that you are well. I pray that our time together will be a time of worship and renewal as we take some time to be in prayer and in song and in silence, time to consider God's good word and how it is moving in our lives. So having said all that, let's take a moment to invite God in to the space we're in right now and to give thanks to God for all that is good. And we can begin that invitation by taking a big, deep breath. So take in a good breath. And hold on to it. Savor it. And let it go. Take in another breath. And name it for what it is. It's a gift from God. It's a gift of life. And as you breathe and as you calm yourself, call to mind the things that are good and pure and true and worthy and lovely. Call to mind the people and places, situations and opportunities in your life that fill you with joy and gratitude. Give thanks to God for it all. Perhaps open your arms out wide and breathe deep yet again. And in this posture, in this state of mind, let's begin together in worship. Please join with me in the call to worship as printed in your digital bulletin. You can find that bulletin where you found today's podcast. Just go over to the left margin, just below the line. It says Sermon Notes. Click in there, and the bulletin will come up for you. Let's begin. Lord, teach us to pray, just as you taught your disciples. We come with open hearts, ready to speak and to listen. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. We ask for your presence. We seek your truth. Knock, and the door will be opened. We knock with faith, trusting in your goodness. If we who are earthly know how to give good gifts, how much more will our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Come, Holy Spirit, fill this place and lead us in worship. Gospel reading today comes from Luke's Gospel in the 11th chapter, verses 1 through 13. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." So he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, may your name be revered as holy. May your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. and do not bring us to the time of trial. And then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him. And he answers from within, do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything out of friendship, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asked for a fish, would give him a snake instead of a fish? Or if a child asked for an egg, would give a scorpion? If you, then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. Let's take a moment to pray together. Heavenly Father, we call out to you and we pray. And we give you thanks, O God, for this, your good and living word. And as we gather around this word of yours, we pray your presence with us. And we need your help. We need your help so that we could focus on what it is you're saying to us. And so we ask, O God, save us. Save us from misinterpretation. Save us from distraction. Calm our minds so that we could hear you and you alone in these words. We pray this in your holy name, and we say, Amen. How do we pray? It's a question that I get sometimes from people. People asking how it is to pray or what they should pray for. Or they'll confess that prayer seems very elusive to them, something that's hard for them to do, hard for them to get their heads around. And they're not alone, clearly, on how it is folks ought to pray. And maybe one of the motivations for that question is that they see other people pray. And they can't pray like that, because it's not them. How is it that they pray? If I have to pray like so-and-so, I mean, they seem to have the right words when they pray at the gathering or the meeting or the book study or before a meal. They're so articulate. The words just seem to come so naturally or supernaturally, however it is they flow. I can't do that. And if that's prayer, I guess it's just not a gift that I have. And I think simply Jesus is modeling that it's not like that. That your prayers are your prayers and my prayers are my prayers, and your mode or model, particularly with those intimate petitions of the heart and the soul, those are unique to you. There are the prayers of the church. There is the prayer that we get based on this scripture that we understand, that we call the Our Father or the Lord's Prayer. We'll pray that in a little while here. But then there's the call from the heart. There's the confessing of the relationship with God. God, I don't really know what the heck's going on here. But I know enough to know that I need you. Those kind of prayers. And so for all of us, those of us who feel very comfortable and confident in our prayer lives, and for those who find it a challenge and a struggle, there's something for everyone here in this reading from Luke today. And it begins with prayer, Jesus praying in a certain place. He's off doing that thing that he does all the time, and his disciples see him do it. And in my faithful imagination, I think of what it would have been like for them to see Jesus pray. Where they travel the miles with him, and they talk about the things they talk about on the road, and they have jokes, and they have deep theological discussions. And then there are these moments when he goes off by himself to pray, but they can observe him, and something changes. There's a countenance about him when he prays. He seems to be so intimately familiar with God. And like any of us, we'd want that for ourselves, that comfort and confidence and radiance in prayer. We see it throughout the Gospels in two very significant points where we really see it on display, I think. One is the story of the Transfiguration, where Jesus goes up with a few disciples on the mountain to pray. And when they get there, they pray, and all heaven breaks loose in the midst of this prayer. Jesus becomes radiant with light. Moses and Elijah appear. The voice of God comes. There's a surrounded in a cloud of the divine. These were good Jews. They would be like they're participating with the event of Moses at Sinai. Holy, holy, holy. This radiant moment of prayer, and then it's over. And they go back down the mountain. They don't talk about it. And immediately it's back to work. And then another moment of prayer at the end of the gospel. Jesus, right before he's going to be arrested and crucified, praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. Just on his face. His friends can't even stay awake. They're so exhausted. And he prays with an intensity, speaking to the Father, sweating and bleeding. Father, take this cup from me, nevertheless, thy will be done. An intense, deep relationship with God the Father and God the Son. And in that space, the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's hold that in mind. But that's Jesus at the most intense of his prayer life. This looks like an everyday kind of prayer for Jesus. But it certainly is inspiring to this disciple who watches him pray and says, how do you do that? You know, a lot of us know the disciples of John the Baptist, and we know he taught them how to pray. Now, that's you and I, we don't know exactly what John might have taught on prayer, but we know his preaching. We know his preaching on repentance, his preaching on the coming of Jesus to get clean and get right, and that he would preach anywhere, even at great risk to himself. Stand in the middle of the wilderness, in the river, in the public square, but preach the good news of the coming of Christ. They were disciples. Jesus has disciples. And the mission of the disciple is to become like the teacher. As the old expression goes, to be covered in the dust of your rabbi. And that is to just be so immersed in their teaching, in their way, that you become just like them. And that's the nature of this request, that Jesus would teach them, teach us to pray. And so Jesus gives them some basics. When you pray, say, Father, may your name be revered as holy. May your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us, and do not bring us to the time of trial. And I won't go line by line on what Jesus offers in that specific answer. There's other sermons in other places, and I would suggest you look them up. Treatments and line-by-line analysis of the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father. But just basically that what Jesus teaches in that moment is call to God the Father, and they'll learn more about this. My God and your God, my Father and your Father. You pray to the one that I call Father because he is our Father. And what is it that you want? That the God of the heavenly places, your Father in heaven, that the model, the original intention, the original design of the way things ought to be, may they be manifest in my life here and now. That we wouldn't have to wait to there and then, that the kingdom of heaven is happening now, and that you invite us to participate in it. And that when we pray for needs, that we pray for enough, that we have the faith for enough, the gift of enough. In the words of Mary Poppins, enough is as good as a feast. And that we pray for forgiveness, and that forgiveness comes as it is given. These are the things of this answer that Jesus gives. These are the basics of prayer. But mostly is that we should pray. Don't get so hung up on the language. It is the action and the disposition of the heart when we pray. And he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. And he goes on to tell the story, right? I've had some people come, some unexpected guests come from out of town, and hospitality law obliges me to take care of them, offer them something to eat, and give them lodging. Thing is, I don't have any bread, but I know Bill down the street has got bread. I'm going to run over there and knock. I know it's late, but he's my pal. He'll help me out. And so you go, hey, Bill, I got some unexpected guests. You got 3 loaves. Bill's done for the day. He's been working hard all day. He's got everybody tucked in. The door's locked. He's not getting up. Oh, no way. Come back tomorrow. But Billy, little something. And Jesus says, just keep knocking like that. And even if he won't do it out of friendship, just because of your persistence, he'll get up and he'll give you what you need. And so I say, ask and it will be given. Search and you will find, knock and the door will be opened. Now, I want to caution you not to interpret God as this reluctant friend who doesn't want to get up in the middle of the night. The point of that is the persistence. Persist in prayer. Not because if you're like a little kid and you wheedle long enough and you tug at mom's apron or dad's sleeve long enough, you'll get whatever it is you want. But I believe it's in the persistence we're changed. We learn more about what we're asking for. We learn more about the will of God. We learn more about the nature of our petitions, what we ask and how we ask. But in the persistence, in the repetition, just like in so many disciplines, in anything, right, that we need to practice to get better at, whether that's being an artist or a musician or a good cook or being able to write good code or anything, that you start as a novice and you have to persistently put in the work to get better. Some of that is what I think Jesus is getting here when he talks about persistence in prayer, and that as we persistently and consistently knock, the door will be open. Door of our understanding, and yes, the thing that we petition for, whether that's a loaf of bread or a break or healing or some kind of wisdom or vision that we need. And he just brings this, he continues down, and this is verses 11:11. Is there anyone among you, if your child asks for a fish, would give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, you'd give him a scorpion? You, regular people, as he says, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? If you abide by this model of prayer, first, who is it they're addressing? The God of all creation, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God, the one that Jesus called Father and encourages us to call Father as well, right? A revered, the best parent, the best of fatherhood, the best of motherhood, the best of paternal and maternal love, calling to that one in your prayer, the origin of all that is good. I need your help. That resonates in the heart of a loving God. Our Father, in the heavenly place, a heavenly place that is not some remote corner of the universe, but is present among us when we open ourselves up to it, make ourselves vulnerable to it, with a reverence that I understand that I am asking you, Almighty God, for a relatively simple and very personal thing. I need enough faith. I'm super scared. Someone I love is sick. I pray for healing. I can't get the checkbook to balance this month. I'm running out of patience with someone I love. And I pray for your forgiveness. And I pray that you continue to give me the strength to be forgiving to other people. It's a springboard, this prayer model that Jesus gives us. It opens up our lives to prayer. And that how is it we come to think of God as some stingy uncle who's out of town? He says, if you who are sometimes too lazy to get up and give your friends some bread, if you're able to give good gifts, can you imagine the kind of generosity that is available from the heart of God? But there's something very important, and it's right here at the end. The end of verse 13. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The Holy Spirit. The unembodied presence of God. The Spirit that animates the heart and mind of Jesus. The Spirit that is the love between the Father and the Son. A gift to those who come humbly and earnestly in prayer. Not in perfect prayer. Not in beautifully eloquent prayer. But in heartfelt prayer. Prayer that can be spoken in a few words. God, I need help. God in heaven, I'm not much of a praying man. But if you're up there, God, I need you now. And to pause and to wait. And to perhaps invite others into the prayer as well. Prayers of thanksgiving and prayers of great joy and celebration, prayers of deep lament, prayers of anger and frustration and rage. Find a quiet place and pour your thoughts out to God as a trusted friend. Someone who, and this is true of a good friend, I think, someone who knows you sometimes better than you know yourself. Someone who knows what you're really asking for. Because sometimes we think we need a certain thing. I need money, I need this or that. And the answer to prayer is actually the better thing. But the point to persevere, to knock. Even if the hour is late, even if you're worried about maybe upsetting or not being worthy of the grace of God, knock. And you can whisper or you can shout boldly, God, here I am. I know the hour is late. I know I might not have been here for a while, but if it's all the same to you, could I trouble you with the petitions of my heart? Because I need you now. And that's how you pray. There's all kinds of wonderful, beautiful prayers and liturgies of the church, but what Jesus is getting at here, when they seek to pray like he prays, find a moment, step off to the edge of the room, find a quiet place, and lean in. Give God some reverence and respect, and pour it out. Don't hold anything back. Confess your stuff. Ask for help. Give thanks. For such is the kingdom of heaven. And in the praying, and in the expectant waiting for the answer, the kingdom of the heavens is revealed. And we find that in the ebb and the flow, and in the beauty and the tragedy of daily living, there is good news, to which I say, Amen. And so, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we call out to you in this moment, and we pray. We pray to you, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of apostles and disciples, God of the unnamed faithful, our God, we come to you in this moment and we confess that sometimes praying is difficult for us. Sometimes walking in your way is difficult for us. We confess the times when we've lost our tempers and we've spoken impulsively and we've said hurtful things, and we confess the times when we've been afraid to speak up when we really should have said something. And we've done things that we're not proud of. And then the times when we should have taken action. And for one reason or another, we just didn't. Our sin. We fall short. We know what we ought to do, and so often we don't. But you fill us with hope that if we're honest about these things with ourselves and with you, you offer us a way forward. You pick us up and you dust us off. You teach us a few things, and you encourage us, and you, through your grace, you send us on our way, and so we claim this promise. We thank you for your grace and your mercy and your peace. And we celebrate that. We thank you for it. We thank you for every good and perfect gift that comes from your hand, for the summer rain and the sunshine, for the people we love, for encouragement, for things that are true and beautiful and worthy and lovely. And there are many things that are on our prayer list, so God, We pray over this, your good world. We pray for the people who find themselves in positions of power and influence. A dangerous position to be in. And so we pray that you would bless them with your humility, that you would teach them about grace and faith. Help them to see the gift that they've been given. Encourage them not to squander the positions that they are in. And for those of us who find ourselves in much more humble circumstances, wondering sometimes if we're visible to anyone, show us the way. Prepare for us an excellent way and help us to see it and to follow it and to be reminded that we are yours, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that ours, our lives, is gift. And you know also that we each keep a very specific prayer list. Situations that we're in, opportunities that we have, expectations that we hold in our hearts, and challenges, some of them very dire. These things sometimes keep us up at night. Some of us write them down and we bring them to you on a daily basis. People and the places and situations in our lives. And so we seek to put into practice what we just learned in Luke's gospel. That when we have these lists, that we ought to come to you in prayer. And so first, as we come to you in prayer, we approach you in silence. And we pray that you'll meet us in the midst of this quiet place. And we break our silence. And we join together in a gift that we receive through Scripture, a gift we receive from your church. We pray that you'll hear us as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And so, my dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, I pray that we will do so with a commitment in our hearts, a commitment to find that certain place, that time of day, to pause for a moment, to pause for an hour, but to take time to speak with God in heartfelt prayer. To talk with God, the one that we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who hears our prayers, blesses us with peace. Go in peace. Amen.